Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today's Thursday, August 6th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Going to get right into it today on a time crunch. Back-to-back days, ladies and gentlemen. So that's the nature of thing. Today's kind of a good time crunch. Some time crunches are better than others, right? As we go through life and yeah, it's life, you know. But at least I don't have roofers coming today. That checked out all right yesterday. But anyway, I wanted to talk today, but Shane Beamer's going to talk to the media later. Lots of coverage on thebigspur.com, GamecockCentral.com on three. That's what we're part of now. And we've got a Blockbuster membership deal for you, $249 a month. You pay $29.99 today. And we will be talking about Cutter Woods and Landon Duckworth and whoever else is in the quarterback battle by the time you pay a dime again. So a lot, you know, the 2026-27 academic year at South Carolina is going to be eventful one way or the other. Trust me. And this sale, I mean, you know, you'll want to get back in regardless of what happens. And the sale, you know, we don't do this very often. That's a steep discount. Trust me. We like to put our money where our mouth is. The dollar deal that hundreds of you, thousands actually took advantage of back at the beginning of May when we came over. That was probably one of the best deals I've seen in this business. But this one, when you do the math and the time commitment, is pretty special. So check that out. Myself, Jamie Bradford, Chris Clark, Wes Mitchell, Jack Veltri, great message board community. I mean, all the information. Matt Anderson's doing a heck of a job with analytics, diving in. You know him from the Late Night Gamecock show. ITG later today, Matt Smith, Smitty, coming in from Four Quarter Friday, fourquarterfriday.com for high school sports coverage. They have Aaron Brand from Irmo on interviewed for tomorrow for their live show. All that on the Chief Sports app, YouTube, X, on three, everywhere you can find us here at the Chief Sports Network. So certainly fired up about what's to come. You know, practice starts tomorrow. And so it's time to take a final look. I mean, this is the last. Well, I guess they'll be technically practicing when we record coffee tomorrow, but this is the last one before they get started tomorrow, the last day of the off season, the end of summer. A friend of mine in college, he and I used to go to, very dear friend, still friends of mine to this day, kind of got me into journalism, gave me a job at the school newspaper at USC Upstate when I was a freshman. Lucas is his first name. We used to go to the end of summer weenie roast. It was a big concert up at what used to be called Blockbuster Pavilion. I don't even know what it's called now. I saw Kenny Chesney there 10 years ago, but and that was always great. So anytime August comes around, I get excited about football. You get excited for the start of a new school year. It's crazy that there's all this renewal for those of us that love this sport so much and that always kind of look forward to going back to school and all that. In the eighth month of the year, but that's how we do it. Plus, it's warm. And when the new year comes, it's cold most places. And so, yeah, you renew, but you stay inside and bundle up. But August is a time for renewal. And gosh, there's a good line in The Great Gatsby. I won't try to repeat about things start all over in the fall. So we're looking forward to that. And I think it's appropriate to talk one final time this off season about the star of the show, the leading man, Lenora Sellers, the quarterback. You know, a lot of hot takery out there on him, good and bad. I think the national folks have been pretty fair to him, just, you know, just in general. Actually, I think they've been a little more fair to him based on his sample size from coming off last year than this year. Cause last year it was like 88%. He's a stud and we'll leave the Gamecocks to the playoffs. And then 12% were like, he sucks. He ain't no good. And this is the national media, not the fan base. We'll get the fan base in a second. This year, there's not a lot of, he sucks. There's a lot of, well, you know, he didn't have such a good year. He's got some things to work on, but I think they recognize that in today's college football, having a guy that's been in the same program for 3 years, even though it's third offense or four, he's been in the program 4 years. It's his fourth year, third year as a starter. Notice the third different offense. That's valuable because, experience makes football players better. It's the best way to get better at football is to play football in pads against other opponents. There's a lot of simulation and gladiator training that goes into the sport to prepare your body and your mental state. But once you get in the arena, it's real, and you have a finite time to do that, not only within the course of a season, but in life. Think about this. In football, those of you that played understand this. My dad used to tell me, you're going to have dreams about playing football again. You're going to be friends with the people you play football with your whole life. And yeah, I don't know that that wisdom is universally applicable, but I do, and I am, and I didn't really, it was nothing much. And so when you play the game, it kind of stays with you. And part of that is, and this is what I don't understand about people that when all right, so it makes me understand when coaches say, do you love football? That's important. Because if you don't love it and you're out there loafing and not trying or something, you're not respecting the fact that it can be taken away from you. And then it's over. Basketball, you can always go play pickup basketball. There's guys 50 something years old that play organized, rec league basketball, church league basketball, golf is a game. You can play tennis. You can go play for the church softball team, or the company softball team. Trust me, those get intense. I've seen fights between deacons before, back when I was a kid in Spartanburg. There's some sort of, baseball you can play. I think ice, maybe not ice hockey. I think there are some adult ice hockey leagues in the northern part. Most sports you can play your whole life. You get out there and hit it around, or some sort of version of it, not football. Once it's over, that's it. You don't get to go put the pads on anymore. You don't get to run out the tunnel. You don't get to hit somebody. You go to jail if you do that. Terry Tate, office linebacker, is a commercial, folks. It's not, there's not actually an office linebacker. And so I think that that's what makes this game very special. The scarcity of it, the fleeting moment that it exists in your life when you're an actual player. And so for those reasons, you kind of look at it and it's special. And for Lenora Sellers this year, it's another finite moment, and it's a rare thing that these days, when you talk about playing, that you play for the same team at a quarterback position for that long of time, especially when things don't quite go your way. I mean, I was thinking about Carson Beck. Carson Beck in 2024 was, they were talking him up for the Heisman and all that. Did not have a Heisman year. Georgia still won the SEC, still went to the playoff, and he ends up getting hurt. And Gunnar Stockton goes in, and he ends up leaving. This thing, things just didn't really go his way. I mean, you have other guys that things go their way and they move on for more money. So having a Lenora Sellers, given the finite time that you get to play football, and the fact that he's chosen to play it at the University of South Carolina, I think speaks volumes. So the national media mostly has been fair to him, about, hey, yeah, not such a good year, has some things he needs to work on, but still uber talented. Inconsistent, I think, was a word. That's right. But we can't do anything about can't do anything about what happened last year. There are reasons for it. 90% sure these are the reasons, but there's that 10%, maybe not. I think that Lenore's took some heat. Some folks, and I'll talk about the fan base. Some folks are extreme with it, but they were the same way. I would venture to say, same way with Jake Bentley, same way with Spencer Rattler, whoever has been the quarterback here, same way. And the quarterbacks these days in college football do get blamed. They do get paid. That's fair. And I think, what do I expect? Because I get kind of chapped about people putting it all on Sellers and kind of ignoring what they were trying to do on offense. And by the way, on the show today, Lane Kiffin had a very interesting quote about Kendall Briles. And so we're going to dive into that, those facts, on the show today in the third hour. Plus, the chat box will be open. But ignoring everything else, line, whatever. Lawrence just doesn't know how to play quarterback. Well, I've seen guys that are just athletes out there playing, and that's not Sellers. He's a quarterback. I mean, NFL guys would not be, I mean, heck, Anthony Richardson aside, because I don't know about that. But the NFL guys, I mean, he can play. He's a football guy. He's a processor. So I think that's a little unfair to dump it all on Lenoris, but that's the quarterback. Also, what do I expect when you have Facebook bots that put stuff out on Facebook that say he's making $20 million? If he was making $20 million, I don't know that the opinions shouldn't be even louder. But guess what? He's not. That is fake news. That's fake information. You also have people in the national media that promote this narrative that South Carolina spent all this money. You'd think they spent 20% of their entire NIL budget keeping Dylan Stewart and Lenoris from leaving. Just, oh, we're just going to have to pay them because they just want to leave so bad. I mean, when is that going to stop? I mean, when is it going to stop? They've been doing this to Dylan Stewart since the Kentucky game in his freshman year. And look, I thought Dylan, because, he was really tight with Sterling Lucas. I thought when Dylan went to LSU, I was like, man, that may be tough because you all have relationships with people, and those are important. And those are what, when you have a good culture, relationships keep you there. Well, when that changes and people change, maybe that's, maybe you have to change with it. But the Gamecocks kept him because he loves playing at South Carolina. I'm not saying they took a steep discount and a pay cut, but I'm saying that what they paid him, they were worth. I mean, and could they have gotten into a bidding war and jacked up the price and gone elsewhere? And, probably at the end of the day, probably. And that's with Dylan having a back injury. I mean, and Lenore's coming off a tough season. So when people do that, and then everybody consumes that information because you don't know what to believe these days and can't do anything, I can't do anything about that. I've tried. Then yeah, you're like, you're getting millions of dollars and you couldn't hit a wide open receiver twice or whatever. You get rid of the ball quick, quit taking sacks. And Beamer did say the other day that some of the sacks were on Lenoris, and they were. That's the absolute truth. Now, why were they? Was it designed to leave no was the office designed to leave like no room for error for a quarter? Yeah, I mean, I think all roads lead back to what they were trying to do. I'm not coming off of that. I may be wrong. They get into, I mean, Kendall Briles, every quarterback he's had, that most of them don't have the fraction of the talent Lenoris does. They've put up numbers and done well, including in the SEC at Arkansas. I'd be kind of stunned, but you're kind of stunned around here sometimes, right? At South Carolina. But so maybe not. But I just think that the 5% of Gamecock fans that just want him to go away, that want to start Cutter Woods, or that thought they should get Josh Hoover out of the portal, come on, you're not going to do much better than Lenore Sellers, especially in this system. So what does he need to do to get back to the Lenore Sellers we saw down the stretch in 2024? And I say down the stretch because he really didn't start getting going. I think that pass he threw to Mazio Bennett for the touchdown on 4th and 10 at Alabama fundamentally changed his trajectory. And I know later on he fumbled. He had a fumbling issue all year in 2024. I mean, he fumbled lots. Now, last year, he held on to the ball better, except once. Very costly. And I don't know, that was his fault. I think he thought he was down because he was on top of the pile, but he technically wasn't down. That happens in football. But I think he really got going then, and I think that with the run game in particular, think about this, folks. We've seen him be elusive in the pocket and run around and avoid pressure. But outside of that Clemson game, have you and the big run against LSU, has he really turned on the Jets like he did in that one at all? can't think of a game. I mean, he's gotten rushing yardage, but I can't think of a game like that one where it was Houdini, 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 and shoo, gone. Good luck catching him down the field, running, like a big Michael Vick out there. So I think he somehow in the run game captured that. Now, he was fired up for that game. I think the game plan was basically, hey, we're not gonna block these guys too well. They love to blitz, just run right past them. And it was a great, simple, thank you, Dowell Loggins game plan at Clemson that year. And it worked. They could have lost that one, but it worked. And so getting him back to operating like that, or A&M, or any of those games, you don't have to run 75-yard touchdowns every game, but you can. Getting him back to playing at that level is important. And so how does he maybe take that one, like combine that game with the Missouri passing game and be a stud? So I think there's really some pretty basic things heading into camp that you look for. And Kendall Briles has been very complimentary of him and said he's had a really good off season, and they kind of work together on formulating the playbook, because what Kendall will do is they'll introduce a lot of stuff. What do you like? What do you not like? And then they narrow, 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 narrow. And this is what we're going to talk about on the show today, because Kiffin mentioned it, and then master it. And then that's kind of why this practice schedule in the spring changed, because you just rep it and rep it and rep it. Guess who else did that? The head ball coach. Spurrier maybe had 23 pass plays in his playbook. Sometimes he'd carry 23 into the game. But what they would do at practice, you'd sit there and watch the quarterbacks, receivers, backs. They're just there over and over and over, running it over and over and over and over and over. The best college offenses I've seen do that. They're not all that complex. They disguise a lot of what they do over and over formationally, and they use tempo because the kids master it, right? And the quarterback masters it. It is very important that Lenora Sellers masters what Kendall Briles wants to do from an execution standpoint. And you may think I'm talking about learning the plays, not necessarily that. It's like making it second nature, and knowing what to get into, knowing how to adjust, playing free within the system, that kind of thing. And allowing yourself to play like fast, like you did at Clemson that year, or throw the ball like you did against Missouri when you went for 356 or whatever. I think that's just paramount. In this system, it's not that hard to learn. And apparently, and that's everybody. But if your quarterback can't do it, that's it. The second thing is mechanically, and you saw some clips. He was working with Ramon Robinson, a renowned quarterback coach from the state of South Carolina. Saw some online where he was hitting the short stuff pretty good with velocity. He's got such a strong arm. Sometimes you just got to flick it out there and make sure your feet are set and all that, because the short passing game is going to be important. I don't know that we've seen him. It hadn't been a huge part of the offense, but I don't know that we've seen him do that consistently enough. And so that's going to be the bubble screens and all that, the short stuff across the middle, that all that good stuff. It's going to be important for him to fundamentally master that, and that gets back to his footwork and feet, and some of that depends on protection, right? And some of that depends on an offense designed to get the ball out quickly, but a lot of it depends on Lenore's. Just, when you know what to do and you've mastered the system, these go hand in hand. Your fundamentals come back to you. Fundamentals come back to you. And finally, I think he's just got to trust it. As a quarterback, you get a lot of heat if you throw a pick. You get a lot of heat if you pick the wrong receiver, make the wrong read. You just gotta trust it. Sometimes when you gotta see that it's open and fire it. And that's the 5% haters crew and the 12% haters crew for Lenore. That's their big gripe with him, is that sometimes there's guys open and you didn't see them. Well, there's two things on that. First and foremost, sometimes what we see out there, and I'm not talking about people that actually break down film, because that's like Brooks Austin did that very awesome breakdown. And whatever Brooks is looking at, I mean, He's got it right there, the high angle, the all 22. What we see on TV or in person sometimes because we're following the ball is not necessarily accurate. GM Angus showed me this one time. He's like, everybody's saying this guy's open and throw it, but look at this. And so he took it from the quarterback angle and showed me. I don't know if Dylan or Connor won. And sure enough, this guy looks open on TV from the side view, right? But there's a off your what you don't see is off your screen or closing in. There's a corner right there that if you threw that ball, he's picking it. And even in the stands, we don't always see that. I'm not saying that's the case every time. Like, okay, so the Vandrevious Jacobs wide open at Ole Miss pass, Lenoris missed, definitely on Sellers. And he found it was just a bad pass. That's definitely an ex you can't do that. You can't do that often. You're gonna do it sometimes. You can't do it often. And I'm not saying there's not times he misses guys. There are, but it's not an epidemic if you go back and look. Now, any quarterback would love to find the open man every single time. That's just playing quarterback. And not to say that that doesn't need to get better. But the good news is in this offense, there's not a lot of time to sit back there and make reads. It's not designed that way. The last one was, a lot of quick developing stuff. If it's not there, boom, go. Smart. Smart. And Lenoris has to adapt to that. And on all these notes about making the right reads, getting comfortable, trusting it. He's got to trust himself in the RPO game. You got to trust, because that is the part of this system that's thinking. And I've said it before, the RPO game last year, they had some, Dowell Loggins had some. It's nothing like this. RPOs come in a lot of different ways. Kendall Briles is a little different than, what Indiana ran last year, which is almost a bunch of RPOs. But they're very simple. If you want to know why Indiana was so hard to stop, a lot of RPOs, very simple, and Fernando Mendoza executed it flawlessly. I mean, and it's hard to stop because it put that RPOs are designed to do what? Put the defense in conflict. And if the defense is the conflict means I don't know what to do. And most of the time they're gonna guess wrong. Sometimes you got a stud over there that's gonna guess right. Just a big instinctive linebacker. Almost has ESP, but most of the time, and again, I use this. I've talked about this. I think maybe not on this on coffee. I was watching Indiana play Maryland, right? And they're driving down the field. They got like first and goal at the nine, which is the bane of my existence. If Carolina has many more first and goals at the nine, it seems like every time they did it last year. Oh, we're first and goal, but we're at the nine. You're looking at like, oh, okay. Checking in at the nine, great. And but it's first goal from the nine, and they ran just a little RPO, and Mendoza handed it off and followed the back through the hole, and the entire Maryland defensive line went to the left, and there was a hole big enough to drive, not a truck, but three. You could put a jump, you could put Air Force One in that hangar, and Mendoza just followed him in the end zone, was celebrating at about the three. That showed me that that was executed at a high level. Now, again, this isn't Indiana's offense. This is Kendall Briles' offense. But there are a lot of RPOs that if you start doing it and then you throw tempo at it and you're putting the defense in conflict, and then, oh, by the way, this guy's 6'4", 240, and runs a 4'4". He's a locomotive. It's going to cause a lot of problems, but Lenore Sellers has to go execute it. That's not on Kendall Briles' play calling. That's on the quarterback making the right read. So those are the things I think Lenoris needs to work on. Now, those aren't bridges too far, folks. Those are things he has done at times very well. I think stripping a lot out of the plays and the assignments and the responsibilities pre-snap, condensing the time. I think, again, I said it last year, he is at his best when he is aligned with the operational tempo of the game. And in other words, when the tempo he prefers is the tempo they're operating at, that's when the magic happens. And so I've seen this before, man. I've just seen it too many times. Guys in this complex offense. He's got a lot of talent. He's trying, trying to make him do NFL things. He looks like a rookie in the NFL, and then in college. And then the next year, they fire that guy. They bring in somebody that makes total sense. College guy, high school guy, and away we go, right? Away we go. All right, don't forget the bigspur.com. Take advantage of that special. Be there all day. Got a great, got a great piece up. I'm not saying mine is great, but there was a great piece up from Matt Anderson yesterday. We'll have something else from Matt today on Pup Sellers, but I had my projected depth chart yesterday. So 2.0, not many changes on that one, but we'll update that throughout fall camp and got you covered on all that. Starts tomorrow. Beamer meeting with the media this afternoon. Yeah, don't forget ITG coming up at 10. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Holla.